previous session, the chapter or the book on Tahara or purification, we went through the meaning of Tahara and some of the types of Tahara. So what does Tahara mean generally? You know, purification, but also ritual purification. And then we covered what are the different types of purifying agents, like water. And we covered some of the qualities that water must have in order for us to ritually purify ourselves. And then we looked at some particular details about that. And today, what we want to cover is the chapter on the fara'id of wudu, that is the bab al wudu from the text. And we will cover today, the fara'id of ghusl, of wudu, the obligations of, or the obligatory aspects of ablution or wudu. And we will then go over some details. And then next week, we'll begin on the sunnah of wudu and the adab of wudu. So the sunnah actions of wudu, and then what are some of the etiquettes related to wudu. As is the case, as is the, you know, the what we've been doing in all of our previous lessons, we'll read the text, and then we will go through the matter, the subject matter of wudu, under the chapter, under the section of wudu, under the book of Tahara. So in the chapter of wudu, under the book of Tahara, from Imam Ash-Shurambulali, rahimahullah, his work. Now, before I go through that, I think it's important to mention sort of some of the primary texts related to this chapter of the main ayah al-karima, the main verse which this subject matter of wudu is established, is the ayah in the Quran, which I think I read before, but we'll read it again. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq wamsihu bi ru'usikum wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bayn. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that, O believers, referring to the believers, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you stand up to pray, literally that's what it means, but it means when you intend to pray. When you intend to pray, what must you do? So when you've made that intention to pray, and you must pray, so when you made that focused intention to pray, what must you do? The first thing you must do is faghsilu wujuhakum. You wash your face. You wash your face. Wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq. And you wash your arms up to and including the elbows, according to the Hanafis, because we're studying a Hanafi text. Then, so you've done two things. You've washed your face, and then you've washed your arms up to and including the elbows. Then you must wamsihu bi ru'usikum. Then you must wipe your head. And we'll look at some of the tafsir, some of the details of that in a bit. Then you wipe your head. Wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bayn. And then you also wash. Then you also wash your feet up to and including the ankles. So we have then a hadith, we have then an ayah that's talking about, that's referring to the integrals of wudu, the fard aspects of wudu. And those are the four that's going to be mentioned now in the text. So that's the ayah kareema. That's the verse of the Quran that refers to the core components of wudu. And then you've got a hadith from Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, that gives us the sort of outlines of the wudu, the entire wudu. So the entire wudu by for a believer to perform, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an mentions this. And he says, so this is from the sort of the freed slave, Humran, who's the Mawla of Sayyidina Uthman. He's the client, the free slave of Sayyidina Uthman. So Humran said that he saw Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an performing wudu. So he says, da'a bi ina'in. He was told by Sayyidina Uthman to get a sort of a kind of container with water. And then he started performing wudu. The first thing he did is فَأَفْرَغَ عَلَى كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثْ مِرَاقْ فَغَسَلَهُمَا ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ يَمِينَهُ فِي إِنَائِهِ فَمَضْمَضَ فَاسْتَنْثَرَ ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجَهُ ثَلَاثْ مَرَّاتْ وَيَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ ثَلَاثْ مَرَّاتْ ثم مسح برأسه ثم غسل رجليه ثلاث مرات ثم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم من توضأ نحو وضوء هذا ثم صلى ركعتين لا يحدث فيها نفسه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. So this, the acts of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه, was that he, first of all, he washed his hands up to the wrists three times, ثلاث مرار, فغسلهما, he washed them, ثم أدخل يمينه في الإناء فمضمض. So then he, after he washed his hands, he put his hands back into the container and rinsed his mouth, واستنثر, and then he washed, sort of cleared his nose out with a bit of water, sort of flushed his nose three times. ثم غسل وجهه ثلاث مرات. Then he washed his face three times. ويديه إلى المرافق. And he washed his arms up to the elbows. ثم مسح برأسه. Then he wiped his head. ثم غسل رجليه ثلاث مرات. And then he washed his feet three times. And then he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, said to him, whoever performs ablution, ritual ablution like this, like the way I did it, i.e. the way Sayyidina Uthman did it, then thumma salla raka'atayn, and then he prays two raka'ah, two units of prayer, then وَلَا يُحَدِّثُهُ فِيهِمَا نَفْسَهُ, it doesn't allow his thoughts to be distracted while he's praying these two rak'ah, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, he'll be forgiven all his past sins. So those two are two of the primary texts of wudu, the ayah of the Qur'an, and then you've got the narration of Sayyidina Uthman. There are many, many other narrations, but these are two of our primary sort of references from the Kitab and the Sunnah. And when we go through the Sunnah and the Adab, we will see there are more sort of rulings that the ulama have derived from many, many different texts. So we are now doing wudu. So wudu with the Dhamma means to make, like to wash yourself, to make a ritual washing. Wudu. If you use a fatha, wudu, then it means the water that you're using to wash yourself with. The wudu water. Yeah. And then wudu, if with a kasra, wudu is the container which contains the water for the ritual ablution. So you got wudu, wudu, and wudu. These three references. Anyway, so just before we go on to looking at the furud of wudu, we It's good to mention some narrations about wudu, just so we know its significance, either the dangers in not doing wudu, and on the other hand, the merits, the fada'il of wudu, which are many, and I'll just mention a couple, so we can understand its significance. Now, of course, this is not, because this is fiqh, we are not looking at the inner dimensions that come with these ahkam. We're just strictly looking at what are the integrals, the fundamentals we need to do for our acts of worship to be valid. Now, there's a whole dimension of our acts of worship related to the interior quality of our acts, i.e. our niyyah, our intention, our ikhlas, our sincerity, and things like that. Now, these we won't find in the books of fiqh, because that is not the subject matter of fiqh. These you'll find in the books of suluk and tasawwuf or tazkiyah and things like that. But anyway, we want to mention some narrations about the importance of wudu, and of course it's fada'il. There's a hadith in the Sunan books, like of Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i. It's also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. That Allah will not accept a prayer, a salah, without it being done, except with tahur, unless a person is in a state of ritual purity. A prayer won't be accepted unless by Allah, unless it's done or performed with a valid act of ritual purity. And then we have another narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, لَا تُقْبَلُ صَلَاةٌ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ حَتَّى يَتَوَضَّى. The prayer of someone will not be accepted until and if they're in a state of ritual impurity, i.e. they required to be ritually pure, their prayer will not be accepted until they perform the ablution. Hatta yatawadda. So la tuqbalu salatun man ahdatha hatta yatawadda. So that's the narration. So we must, in order to pray, we have to then perform wudu. We don't have any choice. This is a hukum from Allah Azza wa Jal. It has to be done. We have, of course, some of the fada'il of wudu, and they are very, very many. And I'll just mention a couple. For example, there is a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama, that he said the wudu is a sign of iman. Wudu is a sign of iman. So, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. Only a believer looks after the wudu, or remains in, or maintains the wudu. Because a believer, the distinguishing quality between a believer and non-believer is the prayer. And prayer requires wudu. So a believer who protects the wudu is in effect protecting the salah as well, in one sense. But remaining ritually pure is an identifying mark of a believer's belief. We have the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, طَهِّرُوا هَذِهِ الْأَجْسَادِ طَهَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Purify these bodies of yours, and Allah, may Allah purify you. فَلَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ فإنه ليس من عبد يبيت إلا بات معه في شعاره ملك لا ينقلب ساعة من الليل إلا قال اللهم اغفر لعبدك فإنه بات طاهرا. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, the Prophet said, purify your bodies, may Allah purify you and keep you clean. So keep these bodies clean, may Allah keep you clean. An angel stays with a person who sleeps at night with wudu. An angel remains with a person who sleeps at night with wudu. Whenever he turns in his bed, the angel prays, "O Allah, forgive your servant, for he went to bed in a state of purity." Or he went to bed with wudu. Subhanallah. We know as well that the believers on the Day of Judgment who kept their wudu, they've done their wudu properly, they will have glowing faces, hands and feet on the Day of Judgment. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Messenger of Allah was talking to them, and he was talking about his ummah who are yet to come. And then he was saying, "They're my brothers who I have not yet seen." And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked that how كَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ بَعْدُ مِنْ أُمَّتِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How can you, a messenger of Allah, how will you recognize this ummah of yours that you're talking to us about, that you have, how will you recognize them? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْتُونَ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنَ الْوُضُوءِ وَأَنَا فَرْطُهُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. I will recognize them by their illuminated and glowing faces, hands and feet from their wudu. And I'll be waiting for them by the hawd. I'll be waiting for them by the fountain of Al-Kawthar. So this is how the believer will be recognized. That they will be glowing, have faces, arms and feet, hands and feet glowing because of their wudu. So many, many virtues of wudu. These are just a couple that I mentioned. And we must, and may Allah give you and I tawfiq, we must ensure that we keep our wudu preserved and protected. So as we move now on to reading the Ba'al wudu, there are four. Let me read the Arabic first, and then we'll go through the translation, and then we'll go through parts of it as well, بإذن الله تعالى. قال العلامة الجليل إمام أبو الحسن الشرنبلالي رحمه الله ونفعنا الله به. فروض الوضوء أربعة: غسل الوجه وحده طولا من مبدأ الناصية إلى أسفل الذقن لمن ليس له لحية كثيفة وإلى ظاهر الكثيفة وحده عرضا من شحمته الأذن إلى شحمة الأخرى ولو ملتحيا. والفرد الثاني غسل اليدين مع المرفقين. والثالث مسح ربع رأسه. والرابع غسل رجلين مع الكعبين. So the obligatory aspects of wudu. The obligatory aspects are those absolute fundamentals that if we omit, the action is no longer valid, meaning we have to do them. Meaning we have to do them. We have no choice in doing them. So furud al-wudu, arba'a. There are four types of wudu that, there are four aspects of wudu that make it obligatory, or four components that make it obligatory. Omission of any one of these will mean that this act is invalid. It will have to be done again. غسل الوجه, so washing the face. وحده طولا, and its length. So washing, as I've mentioned before, washing means that, you know, there has to be sufficient water for it to drip from the surface area that's being washed. At least two droplets of water. So غسل الوجه, washing the face. These are acts all done once. If they're done once, then the obligatory aspects will be fulfilled. So غسل الوجه وحده طولا من المبدأ الناصية إلى الأسفل الذقن. So the dimensions will be from the top of the forehead, and then just below the chin here. So the tool, so in length. So from top to bottom. لمن ليس له لحية كثيفة. For someone who does not have a sort of heavy beard. A beard such that you can't see the skin from underneath. Yeah. So someone who doesn't have a thick beard, the length of the face is from the top until the bottom of the top of the forehead to the bottom of the chin. For someone who has a thin beard or who doesn't have a thick beard. And someone who does have a thick beard, وَإِلَى ظَاهِرِ كَثِيفَتِي. And for those who do have a thick beard, then it is to the bottom of the beard. So the bottom of the beard, not the beard that hangs. So if your beard's down here, it doesn't mean you know, up to this length, but it's whatever that lies on the face. Wherever beard, where it lies on the face. Yeah. So that's the length going from here to the chin. It's up to here. And then وحده عرضا من شحمة الأذن إلى شحمة الأخرى. So for the demarcation or the measure or the length widthways is from one earlobe to the other, and that's irrespective of ولو ملتحيا, even if, whether you have a beard or not, it's from one earlobe to the other. والفرد الثاني, and the second for the second obligatory aspect of wudu, غسل اليدين مع المرفقين. So washing the two arms up to and including the elbows. Up to and including the elbows. Then we have مسح ربع الرأس. We have the wiping of one, wiping of a part of the head. Now, for each of these, I'll finish the translation, and each of these, I'll give some examples. والرابع غسل الرجلين مع الكعبين. So the fourth obligatory aspect of ghusl is to wash the feet up to and including the elbows. So we all these need to be wetted, washed, except for the head that needs to be wiped. Otherwise, the wudu will be invalid. So where do we get some of the examples? What are some of the narrations regarding each of these body parts that I just mentioned? So we know that the Prophet washed his face completely, and even he got the corner of his eyes. And we got the narration from Abu Umama that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam كان يمسح, that the Prophet would wipe his the corner of his eyes. Yeah. Al-maqain. He would get the corner of his eyes. So he would get the entire face. So when he washed the face, he would get these bits as well. So it includes an entire dimension of the face. Nothing can be left dry. And we've mentioned that the arms and the elbows in the hadith of Sayyidina Uthman, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam did. And then of course we've got the masah rub' ar-ra's. Now, why is wiping a quarter of the ra's mentioned? Where is there any kind of narrations about wiping the quarter? And this comes from Obviously, it's a sunnah, as we're going to look at, to wipe the entire head. And there's nothing from the sunnah that we know to wipe less than the entire head. But because we've got evidence that, which I'll mention now, there is an evidence that the Prophet وسلم, wiped sort of a part, a quarter of his head. So from Mughir ibn Shu'bah, radiallahu anhu, that he said that masaha Rasulullah bi nasiyati. So the Prophet wiped, in a long hadith, the Prophet wiped his head equivalent to the forehead. So this bit here, the Prophet wiped an equivalent to the forehead. So that must show that it's not obligatory to wipe the entire head, but a portion, a part of the head. And the forehead is like a quarter of the size of the head. If you do four hand spans, you see it. Your hand span will cover your head. That your head will be covered by four fingers. So rubu ra's. So it's obligatory to wipe a part of your head, a rubu, a part of your head. And this is based on the hadith that we just mentioned. And then we've got al-rabi', ghaslu rijlain ma'al ka'bayn. We've got the fourth obligatory aspect, which is washing both feet ma'al ka'bayn, including the ankles. And then we have a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, who says, waylun lil a'qab min an-nar asbighu al-wudu'. And this hadith mentioned in Muslim and in other places as well. Woe to the heels because of the fire. Perform the wudu in full. So that must mean including the heels, the foot must be washed properly. أسبغوا الوضوء. Make sure out of ihtiyat, out of caution as well, that the ankle that is part of the foot is also included because of this narration. So what we learn as well is then these water must reach these parts of the body. So that means anything that prevents water reaching the face, water reaching the hands and arms, up to and including the elbows, from anything from wiping the head, and anything from water reaching the feet, including the ankles, anything that prevents water reaching these places that are obligatory to wash, then the wudu won't be valid. The wudu won't be valid. So any kind of nail polish on the nails for females, or any kind of barrier like gloves or things like that, they need to be taken off. As you'll see, there are exceptions for medical reasons and things like that, but as a general rule, these four aspects need to be washed. Water must reach these four. Now, here, as we're going to look at, there's no intention here mentioned as an obligatory aspect of wudu. For the Hanafi, as we see Imam Shirun Bilali mentioned, this comes under sunnah. So the intention isn't, he mentioned here in the ayah, so intention isn't fard, isn't an absolute fundamental aspect of the act without which it will render it invalid. The other thing is that the tartib, the sequence mentioned here, washing the hands, then wiping the head, so washing the face, then washing the hands up to and including the elbows, and then wiping quarter of the head, and then washing the feet. This tartib, this sequence, is not obligatory, such that. If one if one were to sort of wash all these parts of the body without following the sequence, i.e. one after the other, their wudu would still be valid. So if some, if a person, you know, jumps into a pool or, you know, a river or a kind of pond or some other, or the ocean or wherever, some, you know, voluminous area of voluminous water, if someone, you know, has all these parts of their body, water reaching it, then the wudu is done. And, you know, the water itself being a purifying agent, you know, makes, you know, makes one ritually pure. There's no intention required. So even if you didn't make an intention to purify yourself, to do wudu, they say, and, you know, you took a dive in the pond, you know, or reservoir, or whatever it is, wudu will be valid. It will be done. So for the Hanafis, making intention is not obligatory. It's not one of the four obligatory acts of wudu. For women, of course, for when she comes to wiping her head, she doesn't have to wipe the entire length of her hair. It's obligatory to wipe a fourth of her head as well. So yeah, I will stop it. I'll stop there before we go into the sunnah in next week's lesson. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Okay then, if there's no questions on the wudu, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will resume with the sunnah of wudu, which are quite a few. And then the adab al wudu, the etiquettes of wudu, which are quite a few. So that's going to take up some time. So bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go through that in our next week's lesson. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these halaqat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who perfect our wudu, and for those who perform wudu continuously, and for those who protect their wudu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayers and to accept all our a'mal and our efforts. And until then, naraakum ala khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.